Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for September 8th, 2020, the year of our pandemic, where the time just keeps dragging on. I'm Sean Allen. I'll be your host today. Our regular host, Andrew Turley, is unavailable today. I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves so that if you're listening live at home, you'll be able to hopefully recognize the voices for everyone. Let's start with Roland. Say hi, please.
Yeah. Hi, this is Roland Smith.
Jason, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Joe, please introduce yourself.
Hi, it's me, myself.
Theo, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Theo.
And just so nobody thinks I was playing favorites in any way there, I just went in alphabetical order for everyone. Alrighty. So this morning, was it this morning? Yeah, it was this morning. I dropped the list of all the things in the sync channel. The vast majority of those are from when I went through this weekend on the Pony C repo and started adding missing labels and whatnot to various Pony issues. But we'll try to wade through it as best we can. Let's go ahead and start over on the RFC repo. And Joe, Roland, and Jason, would you prefer to start with Jason's recover block with receiver RFC, with Roland's Unicode string one, or with missing mechanism to pass receive struct values into from CFFI?
I have no order preference.
Roland or Jason, does either of you have a preference?
I don't have a preference.
Yeah, I'm pretty much fine. We could kind of go with mine, depending on what we want to talk about.
Well, it's the first in the list, so that's what we're going to go with otherwise then. So. All right. For folks following along at home, this is pull request 182 on the PonyLang/RFC repos. Add RFC for recover blocks with receiver. And there was some activity on this. I believe that was mostly you, Joe, commenting on things. And a bit from Jason from 5 days ago as well. Is there anything?
I have a few different sort of, you know, angles of discussion here. So perhaps the simplest one is talking about syntax. I have concerns, I guess, about using as because we have talked about trying not to overload the meanings of keywords and symbols. And I think as is used very differently currently. And so I think it'd be better to try to use another symbol. I was suggesting pipe, in that it's kind of similar to a match block. But yes, we could discuss that a bit more.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with pretty much any of those syntax changes. I originally picked as just because of the sort of fluent reading, but pipe is a perfectly valid one in my mind. And also,
talking about match blocks, so this is interesting. We could consider doing something like recover E pipe X arrow body N rather than E dot recover. I don't know if that's too ambiguous with existing recover blocks.
I'm not a fan of putting recover to the left of the expression because in my mind it is, so we could have a relatively complex expression to work with. And it, in my mind, it reads sort of similar to the function application, like we're doing some things and then trying to like work with some nested data, is sort of the way that I would put it.
I think that justification makes sense.
Give me one moment, because on the topic of audio problems, I need to switch to my headphones, I think.
Is my audio level okay?
Yes.
Everyone else?
Okay. Yes.
Just wanted to make sure it wasn't me. Sean, did you have any thoughts about the hype versus as versus other options?
Yeah.
So I think that people seem to come to Pony with an idea of what as is, right? And they're already kind of wrong, and that this would be, they'd be even more wrong. And so I'm generally not a fan of the as there. Not just from the overloading perspective, but that people already seem to walk in thinking that a decent chunk of people seem to come in thinking that when they see as that it's that it's part of the type system. So maybe this is actually right, where if I say as, it would be, it's like, oh, from here on out, the compiler knows that this is, you know, this type rather than how it is, which now that I think about it might actually make as make more sense than something which sort of overloads match here. Huh.
That sounds like Joe's compiler.
Hmm?
Isn't that, Mare is flow sensitive, so I'm pretty sure that would be the reading that I had, what you just said.
Yeah, it'd be similar to that idea.
I don't have strong opinions right now, Joe.
Cool. So there's the other two comments. I guess we're working backwards.
Okay.
The example that was given, near the top of the issue ticket of a case that doesn't work today in Pony, but would work in the syntax. I also noticed that this case would work if we resolved a different issue that was raised a while back by Benoit, which was that auto recovery currently only works for the receiver, but we could make it work safely for any argument as long as all other arguments were sendable.
One, there's all of the caveats of this actually also apply in that case. So outside of syntax, it's not, in my mind, making it much simpler. Because the reason is, so to my understanding, the reason that Pony evaluates arguments and receivers in the order that it does, where arguments are always evaluated before the receiver, is specifically because of the problem of invalidation. If you evaluate them in a different order, then you can cause invalidation, basically, and create unsound things because of the mutable stuff that we talked about up here with consuming and the like. So if we did that, what we would have to do is either apply the same read-only rules as this, and this is maybe potentially not that much lower hanging, or we have to start making like the evaluation order of the arguments in the receiver depending on which one is recovered, which might also not be explicit in the syntax.
Interesting. So I was honestly not aware of the evaluation order dependency there. I'm gonna add a comment to that existing ticket. Jason says there may be issues with evaluation order. The super argument versus the arguments. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is surprising to realize, like, yeah, that's probably why it's like that for exactly this thing. And like, because I was trying to go through examples, like, well, how would this break? What if I change this into function? And like, how would this break? And the reason is it doesn't break because of the particular evaluation order, because the recover is the last thing that we get.
I would be interested to see if you could take some time to show an example of how evaluation order matters. That would be really interesting for me to kind of wrap my head around.
We can get a really small one that I'll post it on your issue of. Okay.
Where I'm coming at generally is like trying to figure out, I'm kind of in a mindset of trying to figure out like how much we can remove recover blocks from being needed by adding other improvements to how we deal with isolated and non-isolated things. That's why I'm trying to sort of, for the examples that you've given, try to find examples of ways to resolve them without adding new recover blocks sometimes. But I don't know, maybe this is misguided. It's just kind of like where I'm at in terms of trying to see and explore if we can remove a lot of uses of recover blocks by making other things allowed.
We can make recover blocks a bit stronger in a few ways, and with that, we make ISO a bit better. But I think the use cases for the bit that you've mentioned and the use cases for this are sort of separate from each other. The point of this is how is better enabling us to access internal structure outside of this isolation, whereas that other one is about accessing multiple isolated objects. So long as you're accessing one, that's sort of in the same camp as other recovery. And so I don't know that that case particularly solves this. Now, we can sort of buff up a few of those and then also add isobox, and we could probably get a reasonable number of these covered though. So that would be.
What do you mean by ISO box?
The adding a capability for box arrow ISO and ISO arrow box. That's so in effect, it's you can only read sendables from it, which means everything you read gets turned into ISO box except for val. And so that would very nearly be enough for most of these things.
The other thing that I commented on, you mentioned like allowing functions to take temporary ISO arguments that cannot be consumed.
Yeah.
Similar to Sylvan's no consume using from Tony C issue 2043, mm-hmm. and also the non-ephemeral mesh discussion that we had as well. I'm trying to figure out what this would look like in Tony syntax. I'm guessing this would be like a parameter binding with the type being ISO bang instead of ISO, which is currently not like a thing in Pony, but
yeah.
I mean this thing, perhaps?
So the issue that makes this not expressible right now, and why this needs syntax, is effectively because we've already used up the name ISO, and then we've said ISO hat is the... So basically, because of the way this is oriented, ISO hat bindings are useless. Are very new useless. This is, well, yes, ISO hat bindings are useless. And we've used up ISO on being like actual moving ISO objects. So we don't have the syntax for this. Is the short answer.
Would it be an ISO bang even binding? Though
it's not quite ISO bang, because right now we use ISO bang to mean sort of the best stable name. So for the expression, I mean, ISO bang is tag. We could overload that syntax for this purpose and it would work. It would just be very confusing and it might cause issues in existing code.
Where do we use ISO bang aside from return values?
Go ahead.
Wait, we use ISO bang in return values, Joe? What?
Yeah, so return values that Oh, sorry. No, this is.
You mean ISO hat?
I was thinking about things with the return value changes that I made in my compiler. So this is like. We don't use ISO bang in return values. We only use ISO and ISO hat. Where do we use ISO bang right now?
So it's not ISO bang. It's just ISO. That's the confusing thing. And there's a long story here.
ISO bang, right? So what's the existing ISO bang we'd be adding to?
ISO bang equals tag, and tran bang equals box, and everything else self aliases. It's the odds that you write it with a concrete capability are very low, because you would probably just write that capability. The situation, you could use it. You could probably overload the exact syntax ISO bang for this, but
I think it generics will break anything existing, I believe, because ISO, like right now we say ISO bang equals tag, but I think all we require is that ISO bang is assignable to tag, which it still would be if interpreted in this way, right? If interpreted in
So not in return types, not in covariant position. And
but do we use it in return types right now?
In generics, I don't think anyone's written down ISO bang.
Right.
But yes, it is used in return types with generics. Actually, one of my other, I was making a PR to fix some of the subtyping issues, and the map collections functions have to return bang.
And why is it you say that we can't make this change in a covariant position?
In a covariant position, if you made ISO bang stronger, then current code could return tag and say it's ISO bang. But so this is the thing that's awkward, is that the concept in return position that you want already exists. It's called ISO.
Right. And this is what we were talking about earlier with me saying that we should get rid of hat in the return position and say that
it's
the ephemeral version of a return is ISO, and the ISO bang is like if you're doing the temporary ISO.
Yeah, that's my opinion. We have to make a whole big RFC on that to talk about that. But sorry, what were you gonna say? Or are you just reacting?
Just reacting, I assume.
It gets a bit weird. It's kind of confusing. But so if we made that shift that Joe just mentioned, where we swap, we make ISO hat the default and then use ISO bang or something else for what's currently ISO expressions, then that would free up the syntax to be used here consistently. Right now, the meaning of this expression that we want, the meaning of the capability, is already available in return types, but not in argument types because of that. It's a very in-depth discussion on this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced, but I think you already know that. I don't know if others have thoughts on that. Maybe we don't need to go that route for right now. Because as Jason was mentioning, maybe just orthogonal to this RFC, so we can deal with it later.
I think the silence is an agreement that that we're good with this, and we should move on for now.
Okay. Shall we move on to the Unicode string RFC?
Sounds good to me. Such a long list to get through. Yes, this is PR 179 on the Pony Lang RFC repo.
Right. So I'll just jump in and explain a little bit. So I I've gotten a bit of feedback a few weeks ago. I've made those changes in the RFC. Pretty much added the I think we've got four things that Joe had asked for. And you know, that's pretty much it. So I guess I'm I'll just note that the one issue of trying to switch the using a you know the pointer size and alloc take that as string and replacing with array. I did start on that, and I think I'm going to need some help on getting through that. It seems like that's created some issues that I can't quite figure out how to work around. But it's still in the RFC is something that we can do, assuming it can be made to work. I'm sure it can. But maybe a little beyond my my abilities at the moment.
Cool. Well, I would say if you want to ask for help on a particular point related to that, feel free to reach out into the Zulip, for example, and you know, maybe in a public channel, so that way, if I don't, you could ping me. But if I don't know the right approach, you know, we could ping others as well.
Okay, I'll do that.
I appreciate the work that you've been putting in on this so far. I think this is an important change. Sounds like we can maybe move on to the next RFC, unless others have thoughts about like remaining, others have you know thoughts about remaining feedback for this RFC that we should keep rolling, or other problems people want to you know call out. This time, right? We move on to one of the other issues.
Yes. Next is is there anything to discuss during this, Joe, on 157 move hashable to built-in? I don't believe there is, Matthias. That's RFC 157, PR 157. Matthias reported some numbers. I thought your questions were very good. I don't have anything, but I wanted to see if anybody had anything for that.
Do you have thoughts, Sean, about like whether that, whether those numbers are, so let's say it turns out that, that, you know, we can't necessarily optimize the per number hashing any further? Do you have thoughts about whether that level of performance drop is acceptable, not acceptable, sort of thing? I don't have much in the way of opinions about that.
I would be quite worried about that change given what an incredibly common operation hashing is and what that would be like. But I think really to move forward with being really comfortable with that, it would be we would actually need to have a larger non-micro benchmark thing to test, which is something which exercises hashing a lot, right? And see what a real impact is on like performance for an you know some application like ish thing rather than a micro benchmark. How's that for hedging everything I just said?
Yeah, it makes sense. So yeah, that's all I had to kind of ask about on this call.
All right, let's move on to RFC issue 183, which for folks who aren't aware, PRs on the RFC repo are for where people are actually going through the RFC process and suggesting changes, whereas things which are issues are really a request from somebody for someone to write an RFC on the for the given particular thing. And so this is really a request for an RFC.
RFC.
Yep. So that's 180, that's issue 183 on the RFC repo. Joe, you want to do the song and dance intro, et cetera, and everything?
I mean, yeah, so I can just kind of describe the situation in general, so those who haven't read along. In original Pony, it was possible to emulate struct by value in arguments and return values of CFFI calls by using tuples, kind of as if they were structs. Because if you use a struct in an FFI call, Pony treats it as a struct pointer for CFFI. So a struct by value is done with tuples. And for better or for worse, that's kind of the system that was used. This ended up being disabled in, a while back by Benoit when he found that there were some cases, and he didn't go into a lot of specifics about these cases, and we lost contact with Benoit since then, so we can't ask him. He found some cases in which the compiler didn't have enough information or enough knowledge about C ABI things to know what the correct calling convention is, and to know whether it's actually going to be a struct by value or some other, like, I assume, and this is not authoritative, but I assume it's like the struct getting decomposed into like separate arguments, for example. It's a good calling convention. Now, others might know more about that than I don't know. But it's kind of my assumption from Benoit said. So we don't know which cases specifically are unsafe, which is unfortunate. And like I said, we can't ask Benoit, which is even more unfortunate. But that was disabled because it was found to be unsafe, and not necessarily obvious in which cases it would be unsafe. And so now we have a user who is interested in using that feature, but it's gone now, and trying to figure out some way to work around. I have suggested that, so the long-term solution would be to incorporate libclang and actually give libclang access to the C headers for the thing you're trying to integrate with, which would also allow us to improve a lot of other things about the experience of CFFI that are currently difficult or broken. Allowing it to automatically generate certain struct or function definitions for you. And understand those from the C headers rather than making you co-declare them in Pony, and sometimes having those be platform specific and all that stuff. That there's all these sorts of problems that we've run into with CFFI that would be resolved if you were using libclang and giving access to the C headers. So I think that's the right long-term solution for this. As a short-term solution, if we have users that are interested in this feature that don't want to wait for that long-term solution, understandably so. I would suggest that we make this a compiler flag that lets those users opt in to saying, okay, I understand that in some cases this pattern is unsafe, but I have tested it to be safe for the programs that I care about, for the C calls that I care about on the platforms that I care about, and therefore I am okay to say that Pony can allow this rather than disallow it because some cases don't. The other option would be if we knew more about which cases are unsafe, we might be able to better detect them in some way, or we might not be able to. The original poster of this ticket also gave a suggestion that we include some facilities for like byte packing and unpacking. I think that's probably a bad idea in my opinion, because the user of the language is going to run into the same issue. Like on top of all the added ceremony they would have to go through for byte packing and unpacking, they're going to run into the same problems that the Pony compiler had, which is that we don't actually know if it's going to be a struct in the end. I don't think that solves anything. I think that just makes things harder for the user, the language user, and more. It doesn't solve any of the underlying problems about correctness or knowledge of the C ABI. Anybody have any thoughts or corrections about things I may have said that were wrong, or that you know more about than I do?
So I think the one other legitimate option for this, which could be a thing which depending on how you feel about things, is either a short or long-term solution, is a tool which would create all of the code which the person who opened the issue considers excessively burdensome boilerplate, and have a tool which would be able to create that boilerplate, which would then allow for what should be a safe experience, because there would be C wrappers for these sorts of things, without making somebody go through, and if they have a large struct-based API, have to create all of it.
Yeah, that actually, I think you raised a good point, which is that you know, the short-term solution I described was one that's ultimately, like, you know, not necessarily safe, and it may, you may not know which platforms it's safe on. So you're, you know, the solution that you described would be safe.
And
it's an advantage, obviously.
I've been thinking about this on the basis of a comment that Jason made in Zulip in response to me, and I think my biggest worry about the unsafe one is the unsafe of turning that back on is that that there is no knowing in the future what platform somebody might compile it on, whether it's safe or unsafe. And that other folks also could pick it up, right? And be like, oh, I'm gonna start using this on platform foo and not realize that it's unsafe there as well. And so I started thinking of what are ways that we could try to, and that's how I ended up with the, you know, the code generation, which is not the greatest thing in the world, but I think it might be better. I think it really depends on, like, I'm not a huge fan of code generation. Okay, I put that mildly. I don't like code generation. I think it comes with a whole host of problems. On the other hand, if I have to pick between code generation and hidden lurking safety time bombs, I think I would go with code generation.
So I'm a bit confused in the first place why this isn't something that LLVM can handle, because the details of calling conventions are should be handled by that when we make calls. That's perhaps not exactly a response to the thing that you said, but there was quite a lot of conversation in between. Mm-hmm. Between now and getting that question.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question because, like I said, it's unfortunate that Benoit did not share, and that I'll put the onus on me. It's unfortunate that I did not ask Benoit to share an example at the time that he filed the pull request. I should have asked for that, because then we would have had an example now for. In which cases this was unsafe and what information was missing. It's not something that we discussed on a sync call, was it, Sean?
I remember he was looking at a number of tuple-related issues around that time. So I'm not sure where we may or may not have had conversations. I do know that this came out of his looking into weird bugs that people had reported.
Yeah, and so I mean, he does describe two examples of cases that come up. It says, for example, a C compiler is allowed to split the members of an object into different parameters, or to change the return value into an output. And that's something that libclang would know when it happens. I don't know enough about C compilation to know when this happens, when it doesn't happen, and how to detect it, unfortunately. And I was a little bit surprised about this, because I would have assumed that such a thing would be well defined for a public facing function that was intended to be called on like a shared library. So I'm a little bit I or someone else would need to learn more about C compilation and C optimizations to know when these things may or may not happen. I would think that this would be something where it would have to be guaranteed to happen, right? So that if there was a shared object file compiled with, say, GCC, and it was being called from a program with Clang, that there was something that specifies the interface of whether it's, you know, split in different parameters or whether it's an out parameter instead of a return value. I would think that would be something that would be specified so that the different compilers could be interoperable. And then this is another case where if we had access to that specification, maybe we could, you know, encode that logic into Pony-C instead of relying on libclang. And that way we would know, again, I'm speculating about whether that's specified. I would have to assume that it is, because otherwise, how can you have a shared library, you know, created by one compiler and have it called by another? That's the direct, you know, problem that we're dealing with, just that our compiler is not a C compiler.
Where did I?
If there is a solution that just enables us to do this outright without any wrappers, it seems like the code generation solution might be a lot of overhead versus being able to have a smooth transition path through the FFI.
Yeah, I think it comes down to figuring out if this is like specified by some spec, and in how complex are the rules in that spec, and if it is specified in some stable way and the rules are not terribly complex, then I would maybe suggest that we go ahead and pony and rather than trying to integrate libclang, we just go ahead and try to handle that ourselves and comply with that same spec. But I would think that if it was simple, Benoit would have just done it, knowing Benoit, but I don't know. I wish I had asked for more information at the time.
The upside of letting people do it is we'll get some more data on where the failures are.
Will we, though? I don't know about that.
If there's any failures. And if not, if there's no failures, then there's no problem.
If there are noticed failures.
Right. I think Sean, as Sean was mentioning, Benoit was looking into failures that, you know, people didn't really, until he did the digging, people didn't know this had anything to do with this problem. And so if we were, it wouldn't guarantee that we would figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing in most situations, if someone's calling Pony-C, that means they have to be passing this flag. So in those situations, it can be as scary a name as it needs to be. And in other situations, it's, as far as the user's perspective, it's usually coming out of something like a make file or another build, in which case there's a nice buck to pass.
So I think that these features in the C compiler are called RVO and NRVO, or it's at least related to it. Return value optimization and something like this. Anyway, this would involve somebody learning more about when and how these happen and where they are specified in order to try that.
So is this happening in C++? Does it just come down to missing like an extern C or something?
Stack Overflow, somebody on there says, RVO / NRVO are clearly allowed under the as if rule in C.
The as if rule?
Yeah.
Okay, what is the as if rule? Because all I can think of when you say as if is I now have like pictures of Clueless the movie running through my head.
Basically, the compiler is allowed to perform any changes as long as the, you know, as long as it is as if the thing you requested happened, for some definition of what as if means.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's, I know you told me to do this, but I'm allowed to do something else as long as the result is the same as if I had done the first thing you asked.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just trying to figure out, like, if this is happening for a, you know, a function that is meant to be, you know, publicly invoked, like from a shared library, then there has to be some specification about how that ends up. That a compiler, given the function definition, would know. I mean, it can't just be any.
Yeah.
It has to be defined as specification somewhere.
But you do make a good point, Joe, on that. Yeah.
See, it sounds like it is. I think there's another one there that linked part of the specification. It just sounds like it's an optimization that the compiler can perform under as if. But it's obviously not correct if it has to be external, if it has to be publicly available to other compilers.
Is that obvious? I mean, so are you suggesting that maybe these cases of bugs were in libraries that were not properly like declaring the functions as public?
I feel like that's it, or if they were C++, they weren't like extern C, and then C++ might have its own rules for that. Because I don't think the C spec necessarily, it doesn't seem like it's something that would exist. Best I can say.
When I was talking about it's got to be specified somewhere, I think the issue is it may be specified on a per platform basis, which is the problem here. And so I imagine Benoit did not want to try to include all of this platform specific, ABI specific stuff into Pony C.
Yep.
And ideally leave that to Clang to figure out. This makes sense, right? So in LLVM, I call it a struct by value, and LLVM, when it's compiling for the particular platform, it knows, okay, this platform, for example, Intel 386 System V 4th edition, I'm looking at right now, this platform has these specific rules about what it expects, and yes, I would wholeheartedly say I don't want Pony C to deal with that. But I'm surprised that LLVM doesn't, and it requires planning. That's the interesting part.
This is from 3 years ago. I think something else to also look into, Joe, would be is Benoit's comment that actually the interoperability won't be easy to implement because an important functionality converting Clang types to LLVM types is only part of Clang's internals. That, I mean, it's entirely possible that that's still true, but it might not be. Like somebody could have exposed that, could have submitted a patch to expose that as an interface. For all we know, Benoit might have before, because wasn't this like just, was it 2017 or 2018 when Benoit just sort of floated off into the ether?
I don't remember the year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't either. But
I wonder if Benoit's branch in which he started to do that still exists somewhere. he may not have pushed the branch. I was trying to figure out what he pushed it. Unfortunate.
Did you check? I see LOVM 37. What is fix 2493? Okay. Issues 2493. I'm looking at the ones that he has, but. Okay, that was something that was already done. Damn it, where's the branches? There we go. It was case function 3 years ago. Yeah, this was just a little bit before, like, he sort of, subordinate V tables, customer reality. I don't see, what's this one?
Which one?
I just got sort of distracted by one that says fix tuple trace. this one was merged at some point. Yeah, I think.
It says it is. Yeah, it's zero ahead, 23 behind. No, it's one commit ahead. So, it's,
yeah.
Maybe somebody squashed the merge work because it didn't show up as committed for the squash. Anyway, I'm still a bit confused about how Plane knows this and LLVM doesn't. I'm sure it makes sense, but I'm just missing the point. I don't know what else to say about this. Although somebody in Stack Overflow in this discussion is saying that GCC actually fails to do this properly in some cases. So that's fun. G++ does it, Plane and N++ do it, but GCC fails. If it's that complex, yeah, I think Pony C does not want to be in the business of having to deal with that. Probably safe to say that, regardless of my other outstanding questions. So. Yeah, I think we can discard the option of bypassing the plane and implementing logic ourselves.
Oh, what was that? Oh, somebody must have muted themselves. Oh, that was you, Joe. There was some background noise that disappeared. Here we go. I'm leaving some notes on the on the issue. Okay, I left a couple of comments. Joe, is there anything you would want to summarize as stuff on the issue itself?
apart from aisle three that you said, but then apart from what I already said, probably. Because I was, all of my musing on this call was me trying to find another way. And I backtracked all of that thinking. I don't think we want to be in that business. So. What I wrote there earlier still stands in terms of my suggestions about how to proceed, apart from my agreement with you that code generation is an option that will save clunky and safe. So I just thumbs up your comment and that's all.
Jason, anything you think should be going to any summary other than what's already there?
I think I'm fine with that.
Okay. Let's see. To interfacing. Really creeps me out when you mute yourself, Joe, because then it's just pure quiet on my side. Just creepy.
Sorry about the background noise. I wish it could be creepy all the time.
Okay. We're basically at the end here now. So I'd say we call that a day, unless is there anything, because we went way over, is there anything that anybody wants to discuss or we're hoping to discuss today that we haven't covered? Jason, you good?
I think for the most part I'm fine.
What's the little part that you're not fine on?
The place where I'm stuck on that work in progress PR is a bit odd. But I still can investigate a tiny bit. It's actually like changing the subtyping broke some of the runtime code gen for tuple tracing. And I don't quite know how, and it's not the most obvious thing.
Tuple tracing is a thing. Tuple tracing is maybe broken in some areas, but that could be.
I hope not.
I don't have much in the way to back. Yeah, I just meant the tuple tracing. I mean, we've had issues where, like, you know, union of tuples versus tuple of unions was broken when it came to tracing.
Didn't we fix that?
I was reminded of that issue actually, Sean, when you commented recently in the past week and said, this is still an issue as of 0. Dot, whatever dot we are now.
When I was going through the issues and I apparently found one that's doing it. Okay. Yeah. One of the several that I found. Okay. Well, I retested them. All right. All right.
So yeah, I don't have much guidance to give Jason. I'm sorry.
No, I don't either. I don't have much. I have none right now. Joe, anything you wanted to cover before we end?
Nope. Happy post Labor Day, everyone.
All right. Roland?
Nope, nothing. I'm all set.
Theo?
Nope, not other than I might as well mention that I have been working on trying to get SN malloc to replace the pony pool allocator.
I see you pushing commits. Yeah, I saw.
It almost works, but the hash map has some weird assumptions, and I'm not sure how to resolve those yet. I mean, it's just a matter of me poking around at it a lot to see what it's assuming about either alignment or allocation size or some combination of the two.
Cool. Still cool.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that would be a nice improvement, like performance-wise.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, that's my hope. That's my hope. I guess the one thing I would mention, it's not particularly important, but last week we discussed switching over to eventually doing our Docker hosting on the GitHub packages stuff. The very next day, GitHub released a blog about how they have the new GitHub container registry, which exists as well as the GitHub packages one. And I don't want to move anything because, I mean, well, one, the container registry actually fixed one thing that I found was a problem with the GitHub packages, which would be nice, but then it also eliminates one of the things that would be nice about the GitHub packages. And it looks like at least for a while, the UI is going to be kind of confused when you go to a thing between how would you find packages and whatnot. So I'm going to table that because there's no longer a strong, oh, this is clearly better across X, Y, and Z type thing, and wait to see either how GitHub's stuff shakes out over time when they hopefully don't have two different UIs for two different places where you can put Docker containers. And see what happens with Docker Hub's changes as well. So I'm just going to pause that. Nothing's going to happen there. And I can work on things that I would be far more interested in working on anyway. That's it on that. Just a quick update. All right. I'm going to stop recording now. Thank you, everyone, for coming.